Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 3:15 p.m. and that is Central Time, and today is May 26th. Well, I thought we'd kick off today with BlackBerry of all companies because it was up about 10%, and a good part of the reason for that is because we're starting to see the revival of some of these meme shares. Certainly this retail army that has been absent from influencing the market for the last few months is back in action. So BlackBerry exploded on the upside at the beginning of this year, then gave up the vast majority of that advance. But now we're starting to see some pressure coming back on those shorts. So GameStop has also started to pop on the upside. And of course, this was following one of the most epic advances anyone has seen in an awfully long time. It was up about 15% today. And this isn't on any particular news. It's not really on the back of any big fundamental development either, but simply because there are shorts out there and there is a clear determination to try and pressure them. So the short interest is still around 20%. Of course, that's down substantially from where it was earlier, but we certainly have this attempt to try and pressure institutional investors that might be naked shorts, and that's certainly what appears to be going on. And of course, you can't talk about naked shorts without looking at Naked Brand Group, and that's another one of these meme shares. If we look at it on a long-term basis, it looks like nothing at all. But when you look at it on a daily basis, we had this extraordinary pop on the upside, going from 50 to 350 in the space of a day, and now starting to firm once more from the region of the trend mean and being among the better performers overall. When we think about the Canadian market, well, BlackBerry was the leading advancer in here today. The stock market was up about 1%, and it might be somewhat overbought in the short term, but there are a large number of shares that are firing on all cylinders. The resources sector and the financial sector obviously dominate the Canadian market. But then we also have the cannabis sector, and that has been a sector that has been really under a lot of pressure recently, but Tilray was up rather impressively in here today. It is now back in the region of the trend mean and beginning to demonstrate some support. When we then think about some of the other companies, Canopy Growth Corp had been one of the early leaders. Tilray started to take over that position of market leader, but Canopy Growth Corp was also up in here today, and it's an upside Q reversal. So follow through on the upside tomorrow would at least demonstrate short-term support. We can then think about a more diversified way of playing the cannabis sector, which has also been pulling back, and the alternative harvest ETF has begun to steady as well, in line with more interest in the cannabis sector and also more demand for high yielding shares like we're seeing from the tobacco sector. Altria looks like it has broken its downtrend overall. So this is, I think, one thing that's important to highlight, that there's still a market in vice, and it's particularly worth highlighting that on a day when ExxonMobil and Royal Dutch Shell have been singled out for opprobrium because they're fossil fuel companies. So in the case of Exxon, a very small shareholder controlling less than a fifth of 1% of the total share capital has achieved the feat of getting two board seats with the exclusive determination to try and make one of the largest oil companies in the world to become carbon neutral. So ExxonMobil was in positive territory today because they only got two seats instead of four. But it's obviously clearly a subjugation of the profit motivation towards political ideals like the carbon neutral utopian objective. I've certainly been thinking a lot about utopia over the last few weeks, and we've definitely seen that there's been a lot of utopian ideals expressed in the market of late. Certainly, we've had that with the cryptocurrency markets, and we're definitely seeing it with climate change. And then, of course, there's the clear scope for universal basic income. We haven't seen this kind of demand, or I think support, really, for utopian ideals among large segments of the population for decades. And it really does bring us back to the late 1960s and the triumph of these kinds of policies. And the political response to these types of demands means there will be a lot more spending. There will be a clear intention to devalue the purchasing power of currencies in an effort to give people what they want, which is more money, more goods and services. And obviously, someone's going to have to pay for that, and they have singled out the energy companies to foot that bill. So Royal Dutch Shell found out today that a Dutch court, where their headquarters is, had decided that they are liable not just for any kinds of environmental degradation that the company has committed in the Netherlands, but on a global basis. So the share was in mildly positive territory today, but it's going to be hard to grow in this kind of environment. So with these kinds of events happening in the oil price, where the majors are being singled out as cash cows for additional taxes, well, it means that they're not going to be investing in new supply. And that's positive for the oil price. So the oil price will have to rally significantly in order to encourage additional new supply into the market. Now, of course, OPEC is withdrawing or withholding a great deal of supply from the market, and the smaller independent companies are less liable to be influenced by some of these quasi-political objectives. But nonetheless, as we think about the continued upward pressure that we have on the carbon price, or the emissions price more accurately, in the EU, it bounced from the recent low over the last week. It was off its lows in here today, but we could see some additional process of consolidation. But the most important thing to remember is that it's probably a buy on the dips, because this is a politically sponsored price, and there are powerful groups within the EU who would like to see this number at 100. In other words, a doubling from where we are at current levels. A lot of EU governments need the money, and they believe that the easiest way to raise additional cash from society is to price carbon. Now, when we then think about what else is going on in the wider economy, well, it was a quiet day on stock markets overall, and the oil price was steadier, gold was a little bit weaker, the dollar index was a little bit steadier. It's holding so far the lower side of this range, and this doesn't look like anything other than a brief pause within the broader perspective that we could have significant additional downside over the medium term. Having contracted yesterday, 10-year government bond yields were a little bit steadier in here today. Again, the big question, of course, is, are we going to have inflation? And if we do, what kind of inflation will it be? So there's obviously the upward pressure we're seeing on prices at present. And we can think about everything that's happening in the lumber price and the housing markets, and lumber was down heavily again in here today. So that's certainly one moderating inflationary pressure. Then we can think about the high demand for semiconductors, but certainly there was data today implying that people are foregoing purchasing opportunities because prices have gone up so much. So That should help to moderate the demand component. The cure for high prices is high prices. But then we continue to have upward pressure on other sources of inflation. So agricultural chemicals, for example, are being singled out right now because of rising geopolitical tensions with Belarus. So that could put upward pressure on potash prices. It may not do so immediately, but the it's certainly a threat that's out there on the horizon, particularly if the relations with Belarus get worse. So Mosaic has now clearly broken its downtrend. It's right in the region of the peak from back in 2017. We might see some consolidation here. But then we can think about Nutrien, and that's the result of a merger between Potash Corp Saskatchewan and Agrium. So the Canadian listing is right in the region of that post-merger peak. The US version is at a new high, and it does look like a recovery overall. I've really got a feeling of deja vu. So back in the late 1990s, we had these utopian ideals as well, where people really did believe that technology was going to change the world instantly, and that it was going to happen overnight, that we were going to have customized medicine, the internet was going to change everyone's life, that there'd be free information everywhere, everyone's creative capacity would be used to the utmost, and we would live in a Star Trek type utopian world. Well, then it crashed, and at the time, nobody cared at all for the industrial complex or gave much credence to the view that China's emergence into the WTO was going to change the world. But then, because of that tech crash, because of 9/11, the USA was looking for a weaker currency. They did more than anyone else to achieve that weaker currency. That created demand for emerging markets. And with China building on an epic scale, creating demand for commodities, well, emerging markets took off, emerging market currencies took off, commodities took off, commodity currencies took off. And Wall Street underperformed. And having been the number one destination for capital all the way through the 90s, with a strong dollar, higher interest rates, and better performing assets, then it all went into reverse. So lower interest rates and then less well-performing assets. It created the story of the rise of the global middle class. So now we're looking at a new massive infrastructure build in order to achieve these utopian ideals of renewable energy and decarbonization. There's going to have to be a massive, and we're talking multi-trillion dollar investment in additional new energy infrastructure. That's going to require a great deal more in the form of commodities. And of course, large numbers of emerging markets are major commodity exporters. And that, of course, is not going to happen overnight. So we can think about the significant advance we've already had in copper. And copper prices are right in the region of the trend mean, excuse me, in the region of the highs, and liable or potentially possible that it's going to come back to test the region of the trend mean. The price was a little steadier in here today, and it's still consolidating right around this 4 to 450 area. It's a big long range, so we're likely to see some consolidation here. As long as this reaction holds the region of the trend mean, I think we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. If copper can sustain the breakout to new high ground, well, then we're definitely back in a new commodity-led bull market, and not led by oil on this occasion, but led by copper. And copper is the primary industrial resource for the energy revolution because it's required for batteries, it's required for electricity transmission, and it's required for motors. So Those are massive new sources of demand outside of the telecommunications sector. And it's the basis for a new secular bull market. So the big producers of copper, the countries that are big exporters of it, they're likely to be some of the biggest beneficiaries. We are likely to see a number of these emerging markets turn back into creditor nations. And that is something that didn't look likely in the 1990s and hasn't looked likely in the last decade. But obviously, there are countries like Brazil that thrive in a rising commodity environment. The Brazilian market, in nominal terms, is pushing on to new high ground. In US dollar terms, it has badly lagged for most of the last decade, but it is steadying now within this base that's been forming for the last 6 years. So then we can think, if the, considering the differential between these two charts, it's all in the currency. And the currency has been among the worst performing over the last decade, but it has been holding its own for the last year. And it is now encountering support in the region of the trend mean, or the dollar is encountering resistance there. So if the Brazilian real can strengthen through five, that will take a lot of people in off the sidelines and start looking on it as a potential new beneficiary. And of course, you have the interest rate differential. And the Mexican peso has completely unwound the massive decline that it put in during the pandemic. So it is now steadying here around the 20 level. And if it strengthens through here, well, that will probably also create additional demand. And of course, Mexico is also a major commodity exporter and manufacturer with a land border with the USA. So it's likely to be one of the biggest beneficiaries of any attempt to reshore. Now, of course, yesterday we had a significant pop on the upside from Chinese shares. And we did have a little follow through in here today, but nothing in a really dynamic manner. So I think China's authorities want to have a steady stock market. They don't want to have a stock market bubble. And I think they will act to ensure that they don't get a bubble, but that we will have higher prices overall. The H share market has begun to steady from the region of the trend mean, and it was in positive territory today. It's been going sideways now for a decade and doing so in an extraordinarily volatile manner. And I think that has to eventually end. So we've seen plenty of other markets in Asia that have been going sideways, although perhaps not in quite so profound a manner as the H share index has. The Straits Times index has spent a good long time ranging and then broke out. And the South Korean market also spent a very lengthy time ranging, but the Straits Times hasn't quite broken on the upside. Banks are certainly leading on the way up there in Singapore. So we've had this very long period of time where a large number of Asian markets really haven't been performing. The Indonesian market was one of the strongest performers off the lows in 2008, and in nominal terms, it's still in the region of the peak. But when we look at just a currency adjusted price series, then there's been a downward bias for a decade, and it's now right in the region of the trend mean. So certainly there's potential here that Asia is going to start taking more attention. And these long ranges are likely to be resolved on the upside. And most particularly if the dollar index breaks down and the Asia dollar index breaks on the upside. And like I said, it feels like deja vu. We're starting to see commodities turning. Gold is starting to pick up. There are fears of financial repression. There is a major new source of commodity demand. There are very clear utopian ideals being expressed in the stock market, and the belief that technology will solve all our ills forever. And nonetheless, the commodities sector is outperforming, which would suggest that there's potentially a major turning going on here, and that we're moving back into a commodity-led bull market, and that is also likely to create demand for an inflation hedge, which is certainly benefiting gold. And then we can also think about the continued demand for limited supply assets like property and Bitcoin. Bitcoin was in positive territory today, but was way off its highs. It's still encountering resistance in the region of the trend mean. The big challenge for Bitcoin is that it doesn't behave like an inflation hedge. It behaves like a risk asset. And certainly there's been a lot of back and forth trading over the course of the last week, but it hasn't rebounded to any measurable extent just yet, and it is still encountering resistance in the region of the trend mean. This is a much more risky environment than we've had for at least a year. And I think with that, I will leave you for the today, and wish all the best to all of you.